Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today, and we have an amazing passage of Scripture from John chapter 6. Yep, we're still in John chapter 6. Such a great chapter, and it's really so encouraging and so life-challenging for us as believers. So we're going to dig right in. But let's pray first, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of studying the eternal, living, alive, effectual Word of God. And we pray that you would open our eyes spiritually and open our hearts spiritually so that we can understand and receive the spiritual truths from the Word of God today to our soul. Lord, may the Holy Spirit make us malleable and make us able to understand God's Word today to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what'd you say? Amen. And what? Amen. You got it. And now, the reason I prayed that God's Word was effectual, not a word we use that often, but it means that it has the power of having an effect upon something or someone, is because this is what the Scripture is going to teach us today. Wait till you see what the Word of God teaches us today. So, without any further ado, let's get into the Word of God. We're using the New King James translation of the New Testament. And remember what we do here at Lon Solomon Ministries. What do we study? Say it with me. It'll make you feel good. Come on. We study what? The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives, which is what we're going to do today. So, we're still in John chapter 6. Jesus has just made a comment after feeding the 5,000 in this chapter, about how he is the living bread of life. And people who eat of him, as opposed to the manna, which was heavenly food, but it wasn't living food. Jesus is heavenly food, yes, but he's the living bread that comes down out of heaven to feed us. And Jesus said, the person who feeds on that bread will never die. They have eternal life. And then he went on to explain what believing on him means, that it means ingesting him like food, like drink, and assimilating him into every cell of our being and becoming so connected with him that we and he become inseparable. And this is the kind of believing Jesus wants us to do, that with our whole heart, we are committed to him. Remember, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart, all your strength. This is our goal, but we are to make this a commitment of our life. All of us is given to the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of believing we're talking about. Not believing here, but 18 inches down here and totally dedicating ourselves to the Lord. Now, following that, we have the passage we're going to read today. So let's read through it, and then we'll come back and we'll deconstruct it, and then we'll put it back together, and then we'll talk about what difference that makes for us. That's what we do. Okay, here we go. We're in John chapter 6. Look at verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Jesus, of course, comparing eating and drinking food, where it becomes an inseparable part of us, to the kind of believing he wants. Now watch. Therefore, verse 60, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Wow. Jesus says, what? I know some of you are struggling with this. This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? The King, Old King James says. Look what he says. He says, but what then if you should see the Son of Man ascending back where he came from? You ain't seen nothing yet, baby, he says to them. Wait till you see me ascend bodily from the Mount of Olives back into heaven. You think this is something? Wait till you see that. And then he says to them, what I think is one of the most amazing comments Jesus ever made in terms of impact on our lives. Listen to what he says now. And when I was a brand new believer and I read these verses that I'm going to read to you, they made a massive impact on my life. Listen, it is the Spirit, capital S, who gives life, the Holy Spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing, Old King James. That's where I memorized it. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Hey, everything in this world is geared for the flesh, right? I mean, all of our achievements, all of our material comforts, all of the power we can grab, all of the affluence that we can grab, all of the money that we can grab, and the notoriety, the fame, everything. It's all the flesh, right? And when it's said and done, the flesh profiteth nothing. I remember Macbeth. If you remember who he is, you say, Macbeth, let me see. What was that, a TV program? No, that's Shakespeare. Which, if it hadn't have been for Cliff Notes, as I've told you many times, I'd still be in high school. I didn't understand a word Shakespeare was saying. But the play Macbeth, if you remember, is about a man named Macbeth and his wife named Lady Macbeth, who cheat and connive and scheme and eventually murder their way to the throne of Scotland. And once they get it, I mean, here's the tip top of the pinnacle of the things the flesh can give you. The power of being king of Scotland, it doesn't satisfy. And if you remember, Macbeth wails about it. Lady Macbeth, and he says, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying, meaning, nothing. You say, well, my gosh, Lon, you memorized some Shakespeare. That's right. The only other thing I memorized is, methinketh he protests too much. Methinks he protests too much. I think that's it. Methinks he protests too much, which is great insight. If you find somebody protesting too much, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Guess what? Yeah, it was them. And to be and not, or not to be. Now, those are the only things I know from Shakespeare, but I know that line from Macbeth. Life is a tale told by an idiot. It's full of sound and fury, but meaning nothing. What did he find out? He found out that the flesh profiteth nothing. He got to the top of what the flesh can offer. Profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. And that's why Jesus said when the folks followed him back to Capernaum after eating, when the feeding of the 5,000, he said, I know why you followed me. Remember earlier in the chapter? Because you want more free food. Don't labor for the bread that perisheth, things of this flesh, but labor for the bread that will well up to eternal life in you. Spiritual things. Many of us need to hear this. It's not wrong to work hard. It's not wrong to earn a good living. It's not wrong to enjoy material things and provide for your family. That's not wrong. But we have to make sure that it doesn't dominate our life. We have to make sure that it is an adjunct, an add-on to the real center of our life, and that is our walk with the Holy Spirit, our walk with the Lord Jesus. You with me? If we jettison the spiritual walk with Christ to go after all these fleshly material things, friend, in the end, we're going to find out like Macbeth, and like Jesus says, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, you say, good, is that the message? Let's say amen. No, no, that was just a bonus. That was just a bonus exhortation. With the verse I want us to focus on is what Jesus says next. Look with me. He says, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Now watch, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Right here, the written word of God. Want to go after spiritual things? You want to focus your life on spiritual things? Then friends, this right here is ground zero for spiritual things in the life of a human being here on earth. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And if we want to make spiritual things the center of our universe and our earthly life, it's done by being people of the book. It's done by being in His Word each and every day. This is where the Spirit is, and this is where life is in the book. That's what Jesus says. Now, that's as far as I want to go in the passage, because I want us to ask our most important question now. Come on, you ready? Here we go, nice and loud. Come on, 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah, yes, yes. I just wrote somebody this week and said, hey, if you want to go to Israel, if you're thinking about 2023, that's great. But you know what? You should try to go in 2022 because, you know, with my heart condition and everything, who knows if I'll be here in 2023? Well, you don't know if you'll be here either. But I am here in 2022, at least so far, teaching the word, still serving the Lord after 50 years. And you know what I say? That was a great segue into, come on, how sweet it is. It sure is, baby. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for still letting me be alive and teaching the word of God. Now, what's the so what here? Well, so what is what Jesus says about his word. He says, the words that I speak to you and are written down here in the Bible, these are spirit, they are spirit, and they are life. And you know, this is what the rest of the Bible teaches, that this book is not a dead book. The words on this book, on this, these pages are not dead words, but rather they are life, they are spirit, they're alive. You say, what? Yeah, alive? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, I used to go scuba diving. I had some buddies. And every summer, we'd take off for 4 or 5 days and we'd go scuba diving together. I went with Mark Gottlieb, my good buddy, and Noah Kamen, and Jim Wan, and a couple of other folks here or there would go with us. But these were the four musketeers. And we'd go diving together in the summer when the rates were really cheap down in the Caribbean or whatever, wherever we would go. And you know, when I was taking my course, you got to take a course to get your certification for diving. They made a point of pressing home to us that the coral reefs that we were going to see under the water, that they were living beings, living creatures. I was like, what? No, the coral reef is like a big block of cement or a big block of calcium deposit just under the water that the fish swim around. No, they're not. They are living and alive, even though it doesn't look that way. Well, friends, I want to tell you the Word of God looks like some words on a piece of paper, but it is living and it is alive. It may not seem that way at first glance, but this is not a dead book. This is not like reading Plato or Aristotle or Shakespeare or Milton or Canterbury Tales or Beowulf. I think you get the point how I felt about English literature. No, these are living words that bring life and are alive. You say, how do you know that? Well, that's what the Bible says. Let me show you Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there with me if you have your Bible. If not, I'll put it up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 4. Listen, look what it says here. Verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living. Look at this. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, its sight, the word, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Listen, the word of God is living and alive, the Bible says, and it pierces even down to the joints and the marrow of our being. It's like a two-edged sword that pierces to the soul and the spirit of our life. This is not a dead book. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to heaven there without watering the earth and making it bear a fruit and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so in the same way shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. If something's dead, it doesn't succeed in anything. If something is dead, look what it says, with that, it doesn't accomplish anything. But God says, my word will accomplish what I sent it for, and it will succeed in the matter for which I sent it. It will not return to me void. Well, this is not the language of dead words. The word of God succeeds and accomplishes things in people's lives. And finally, I love this. I love this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Look what it says. It says, for this reason, we also thank God, Paul says, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, what is this? The gospel. When you receive the word of God out of the Bible, watch, you welcomed it, not as the word of man. The word of men. Well, the word of men are dead. The words of men are dead. Plato, Aristotle, Shakespeare, those are dead words. They don't achieve anything. But look, as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, this is where I got the word effectual from, because the King, Old King James will use the word effectual here, meaning it works in us, it has an effect upon us. And the King James, New King James translation is pretty good, but it's not perfect. What the Greek really says, which does its work in you who believe, which does its work in you who believe. The Amplified Version says, which exercises its inherent supernatural power in those who believe. Which exercises it, the word, its inherent supernatural power in those who believe. This is not a dead book. This is a living book. The word I speak to you, Jesus says, the words I speak, they are spirit. They are life. They are living words. They penetrate right down inside of us to divide our soul from our spirit. They effectually are at work using these words, using their inherent supernatural power in our life. Wow, wow, wow. You know, my mom never cooked much when I was growing up. So I never saw bread made or anything like that. But my good friend Gordy Langley loves to make bread, and he's good at it. And I noticed when I was watching him that he puts a little bit of yeast in this big old lump of dough about the size of a baseball or a softball. And this yeast goes in there, and hidden away in the bread, it does its work. It's effectual in that lump of dough and makes it change, makes it from something that would be very not so nice to eat into something that's yummy and beautiful. Well, this is like the word of God. God, when we insert the word of God into our life, God uses it to change us, to affect us from the inside out. This is what I want you to see today. This is why Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, preach the word, because it's not a dead book. It's these words are living and alive, and they will change people's lives. Preach the word was his command to Timothy. You say, well, Paul says to these believers in Thessalonica, you received the Bible as the word of God, which is effectively working in you by its inherent supernatural power. And what's it doing in us? Oh, friends, it's doing so many things. I don't have time to tell you about them all, but let me just tell you about a few of them. Let's go back in the Old Testament to the Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord, the word of God, is perfect, restoring the soul. Oh, man. You know, Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. When you're really down and you're really discouraged, you need something to restore your soul and encourage your heart. Hey, baby, it's right here in the word of God. That's what one of the things it does inside of us, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Are you simple? Are you not so smart? Do you have not much common sense? Like nobody seems to think I have much common sense sometimes. Well, you read the Word of God, and the Word of God will bring wisdom to your life. One of my favorite verses is from the book of Proverbs, that even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. And I try to follow that. It's hard to get in trouble when you keep your mouth shut. Well, that's wisdom. And this is what the word of God brings. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Hey, there's nothing to rejoice the heart in this world, but the word of God is living, alive, and it goes down into your heart and it rejoices your heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, giving a spiritual discernment. You get into the book and you become a person of the book and you will get spiritual discernment. And remember the definition of discernment. Discernment is not the ability to tell right from wrong. Any nincompoop can do that. Discernment is the ability to tell right from almost right. See, the devil doesn't live in the world of wrong, trying to convince people to do wrong. He doesn't often have much success with that, because people can tell the difference. But he lives in the world of almost right. It's close, and it's to an undiscerning ear, it sounds right, but it's not. And in order to be able to have that kind of discernment and discern from right from almost right, we need to be in the Word. That's where we get that kind of discernment. And look down at verse 11. Moreover, by them, that is by God's words in the Bible, thy servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. What are we warned about? Well, we're warned about danger. We're warned about sin. We're warned about getting off the rails. The Word of God is like an alarm system that we embed in our soul, that when things start, we start heading off onto the, you know, off the rails, it goes ding, 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 ding. No, I'm warning you, don't do that. Without the Word of God, we have no warning system. All right, one more. Let's go to Psalm 119. It's easy to remember these two psalms, Psalm 19, Psalm 119. This is all about the Word of God, and I don't have time to read it all, but look, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You put the Word of God in your heart, and it will help you not sin against the Lord. Through that alarm system that's in there, through the strength that it brings. Let's skip down to verse 38. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. What produces worship and reverence to God in our heart? It's the word. Embedding the word into our heart teaches us to revere and worship and honor the Lord and respect him. Finally, look with me at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. I love that. In heaven. Verse 92. If thy word, thy law, had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Hey, when things are tough, what helps get you through? The word of God gets you through. The things of the flesh don't get you through. Look at verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. Now watch, 97, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. Verse 99, I have more insight than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, a very familiar verse, but walking through this world, if you need a light and a lamp to help keep you from getting off the path, where is it? Right here in the Word of God. It keeps you on the rails. Finally, verse 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Where do we develop a hate for sin and a hate for unrighteousness? Well, we get it from the Word of God teaching us what is righteous and what the Lord loves. I could go on. I don't think I need to. This is just a little bit of what happens when we hide the Word, as Psalm 119 said, thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word I have treasured up in my heart. Psalm 119. My friends, to close, what's the point of today? Is that this book, the Bible, is a living thing, like a coral reef. It looks just like a book, but it's not. And you may not be able to see with your naked eye the power of the word in this book, just like with a coral reef. It's difficult to see with your naked eye that it's alive, but that doesn't change the fact that it is. This book is living and alive, and it effectively works with this inherent supernatural power in those of us who believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So, what's the so what of today? The book. Read it. Study it. Treasure it. Memorize it. Embed it in your heart. Hide it in your heart each and every day. And just putting the Word of God inside of you, it will go to work like yeast in a lump of dough and bring all these wonderful things we've read about in Psalm 119 and Psalm 19 to our life. Discernment, encouraging, rejoicing, wisdom, staying away from sin. Alarm bell goes off when we're getting off the track. We can discern what's almost right from what really is right, and all these other things. And for your children, may I say, and your grandchildren, put this book in their heart. Psalm of Proverbs 22:6. Bring up a child in the way he shall go, and when he gets old, he shall not depart from it. Baby, you want to do that. The most important single thing is to embed this book in your children's lives. I remember when my children were younger, I started them when they were 3 years old on, back then it was the Bible Memory Association had a book where they could memorize simple Bible verses, one for A, one for B, one for C. And then I got them into Awana, which, as you know, focuses mostly on scripture memory. And I worked with them every week to memorize scripture. In fact, my youngest son, John, even won the Sparky Award. He was driven. He wanted that award so bad. And we got it. We got the plaque. I don't know how many verses he memorized. Good grief. Dozens and dozens and dozens. As just a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, 8 years old. Wow. Let me just tell you something. All of that word of God that went in has now come back the other direction. And I have three wonderful boys who show the fruit of the word of God being buried in their heart as a young child. Now listen to me. Children don't turn out right because you're a good parent. That is a part of it. Children turn out right because of the grace of God. However, we can do some things to accelerate that process and to enhance that process. And one of them is putting the word of God in your children's souls. Each and every day, reading the Word of God to them from the time they're little and encouraging them to get into an Awana program if you've got one at your church. And if you don't, convince the people at your church to start one. It's the most single, most effective thing that you and I can do is to embed God's Word in the lives of our children and grandchildren and in our own lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, teach us today, grip our souls today with the truth that your word, the Bible, is not a dead book. It is a living book with living power, inherent supernatural power to work effectively in the hearts of believers who put it in there. And it works in the hearts of unbelievers too when we give them the gospel and give them scripture. Lord Jesus, teach us to be wise as followers of Christ and to spend time seeking the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. And one of the most important of those is embedding the Word of God into our heart, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it. Lord Jesus, help us do that for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And what? Amen. You got it, baby. All right. I hope that you will take this to heart and that this book will become your constant and treasured companion through life. What was that, baby? Tell me what it was. It was what? Preacher. Yes. And we'll see you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Life.